So let's move on to data now, because the day before the federal budget, the Productivity Commission released a report on what sounds like a dry topic, but in fact has huge implications for our health and well-being. It was about data availability and use. The report got almost no coverage, yet its findings were pretty damning. One example, for example, the Australian provision of open access to public sector data is below comparable countries. The benefits from greater access to data would be widespread, particularly for consumers. There are more than 500 secrecy provisions in the Commonwealth legislation, many of which are no longer fit for purpose and are rarely reviewed. An incremental change to data frameworks is unlikely to be effective. Data integrations falling down in many Commonwealth and state jurisdictions. The legal definition of personal information as an element of uncertainty and gets in the way. And despite recent statements in favour of greater openness, many areas of Australia's public sector continue to exhibit a reluctance to share or release data. It's an entrenched culture of risk aversion. Doesn't sound too good. Philip Clark, who's director of the Centre for Health Policy at the University of Melbourne, believes it merits serious debate and writes about it this week in The Conversation. Welcome to the Health Report, Philip.
Thank you, Norman.
So what's your take on the Productivity Commission's findings?
Well, it's a pretty weighty tome, and obviously trying to work through the 650 pages of it, but overall, I'd say it's quite a landmark report. I mean, it comes on the top of a number of reports, both Senate committees and other sort of more specific jurisdictional reports saying we kind of lag behind the world, but it kind of brings it all together and really offers a vision for government and all politicians to think about how we can move this forward. And for that matter, perhaps provides a framework for the public service and also the private sector to potentially integrate the data for potentially Australia's long-term good.
Well, I mean, it sounds pretty pathetic if you look at it. And yet when you talk to people in government, particularly federal government, they say, well, it's all good now. We're sharing data. You can get your medical benefits schedule data. You can get the pharmaceutical benefits data and so on. And yet when you talk to people on the ground, they say, you know, that's just not happening.
I think that's the case. I mean, of course, it's good in parts, I think, as always. And
the curate's egg.
Yes, yeah, very much a curate's egg. The report mentions, for example, one of my colleagues at the University of Melbourne, David Matthews, who waited 5 years to get data from the medical benefit schedule about CT scans, which he was able to show there were some adverse consequences in terms of increased long-term cancer rates for when used with children. That research led to changes in guidelines. And obviously...
But it took 5 years to get it out of the system.
Yes, exactly. So the question the report asked is, if they'd had the data early, could we have implemented those guidelines earlier?
And you take two examples as well here. One is cardiovascular risk and how that could be better.
Yes, exactly. So in this case, Australia currently for its guidelines for treatment of cardiovascular disease is using a model or to score risk or to identify high-risk patients.
So just to explain, this is you come into the doctor and the doctor says, you know, what is your at risk of having a heart attack or stroke in the next 10 years or 5 years? And this is you're talking about the data on which we base that decision.
Yes, exactly. It's based on a US study that was actually published in the 1990s, and it's based on data that back from to the late 70s. And effectively, not only is that the study, which was from a town called Framingham in the United States, doesn't have the sort of ethnic diversity that we have in Australia, but also over time, the rates of cardiovascular disease have changed for much of our population. So we really need
an equation. And the UK has done it better.
Yes, exactly. So the UK has managed to link up around 2.3 million records from general practices. They've linked that to hospital data. They've done that in a de-identified way that protects privacy, but that gives them a way of contemporarily stratifying these risks and identifying and being able to improve the treatment of cardiovascular disease in their population.
And you also say, you know, the highest risk community in Australia, of course, is Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islanders, and you say the data are even worse.
Yes, and in many ways it's a little bit puzzling. It's sort of obviously 50 years after the referendum to recognise Indigenous people in terms of counting in the census, we really still don't, although we now identify Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders in the census, and we link that now data to death data, which has enabled us to work out life expectancy gaps, we don't link that data to much else. So, for example, we don't really have good a handle on prevalence or incidence data on cardiovascular disease, i.e. heart attacks and strokes, for that population.
So what are the key barriers we've got to get over here?
Well, I think it is, as the Productivity Commission report identifies, what we've really got to do is, rather than think about perhaps just the mechanics of combining data and potentially the framework, we've really got to think about what are the questions we need to answer and how we create an appropriate framework to answer those questions. And I would put very high up on that priority list things like trying to work out a way of appropriately stratifying risk in Indigenous communities for cardiovascular disease and other chronic diseases.
But consumers and the communities have got to feel confident that the data are going to be well handled.
Yes, and I think one of the things the report identifies is having an overarching law. And I must admit, here we lag behind other countries. So, for example, Germany, back in the 1980s, implemented a law similar to what is being proposed here, which protects the use of the data, makes sure it's de-identified, it's analysed within a controlled framework, but it then is able to be used for the public good. And I think, ultimately, there's only so far we can go in terms of the health sector, in terms of health programs. We really need also to complement that with new knowledge.
Some legislative protection.
Yes, and legislative protection, but also we need to have effectively knowledge about the Australian population to work out how to treat people better.
Philip Clark, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Professor Philip Clark is Director of the Centre for Health Policy in the School of Population and Public Health at the University of Melbourne.